What's up, guys? Pastor John here. We pray that this message encourages you in your faith journey, and we believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and our hope is that tools like this sermon will help you become who He has created you to be. Now listen, in order to truly flourish and thrive like God intends for your life, it takes community. What I mean by that is we don't believe that simply by attending church online alone that you're going to be able to become every bit of who God has created you to be and who you want to be. To grow spiritually, you need other people. And we would love to help you connect with other people right here at Greenhouse. True growth happens when we're rooted in a community that supports, uplifts, and walks alongside us. And so with that in mind, we would love for you to join us in person on Sundays right here at Western High School or in microchurches throughout the week. Listen, if you don't live near our church here in South Florida, please reach out to us. We would love to help you find and thrive in a local faith community near you. We're excited to partner with you as we all become passionate followers of Jesus. God bless you.
Well, listen, stand to your feet. We're about to get into the Word of God. We're going to be wrapping up, culminating our Restore It series today. And the title of today's message is Think Like Jesus. Turn to your neighbor, say, Think Like Jesus, just like that. There you go. Think like Jesus. All right, we're going to be out of Philippians 2, verse 1 through 11. And I'm reading out of the NIV, but it will be behind me on the green screen. So I just made that up. That's so corny. But anyway, just look at the screen. All right, Philippians 2. This is Paul speaking to the church at Philippi, and he's also, of course, speaking to us nowadays. Verse 2 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, Paul says. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm going to read verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, speak through us today, Father. Speak to our hearts. Let our hearts be softened to have the mindset of Christ, to be humble servants. Help, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Amen. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. Give them a high five. Give them a hug. If you are married to them, give them a kiss. Amen. I love y'all so much. Y'all are such a great church. I just love you. Love you too, Justin. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to talk about, as we're wrapping up this Restore series today, I wanted to talk about the mindset of Christ, but also before we can get to the mindset of Christ, we have to get past something, and I don't know if you struggle with it, but I struggle with it. It's called the me first mindset. Everybody say me first mindset. Oh, y'all said that like a class, like a professor here. Me first mindset. I don't know about you, but I'll speak for myself. This me first mindset will oftentimes look like when it comes down between me and others, I have to keep battling something called my flesh. And my flesh says, I want to make sure that I'm secure. I want to make sure that I'm looked out for. I want to make sure everything with me is good. And then I might have time for you. I might be able to serve you out of an overflow. As long as I'm good first, then everything else maybe can go to you if time permits. What does this me first mindset look like? It looks like being ambitious for promotion of self or things that will ultimately help us come out on top. Being self-absorbed, focused on our own needs, matters, and interests before looking out to others. We'll hear phrases like, especially around like the beginning of a year, you'll hear phrases on social media, everybody gets into their like, the whole world wants to hear about you because you know that's what we stay up at night for. And everybody will get on social media and say, you know, I'm putting me first this year. I gotta look out for me. You know, my interests, I serve too much to others. I give so much of myself. It's all about me in 2024. Well, the thing is this is how the world thinks. As followers of Christ, or if you're still seeking as a follower of Jesus, we're not called to think with me first, putting myself ahead, I'm looking out for me, and then if I have any type of energy left over, I'll be able to give it out to you. What this looks like as a body of Christ is saying, hey, not me first, but you first. And in a second, we're going to look at a man who modeled this very well. His name is, anybody guess? There you go. The best answer in church. The thing is, the problem is that the world thinks this way, but what we're seeing more and more than ever, especially in such a digital age, as we're seeing other people's lives, is that this me first mindset is slowly but surely creeping into the body of Christ. More and more often we see in church, especially post-pandemic, we're seeing such a significant decrease in even people serving. I'm not talking about here. This is not like an indictment against Greenhouse. Not here. I'm talking about the capital C church. But we're seeing more and more Christians serve less. More and more times people that call themselves followers of Christ, even myself included, if somebody asks me to do something, the first thing I'm like, well, let me pull up my calendar. Other things might be like, ah, do I actually feel like doing it? And now that I have a wife, she gets to hear it first. I don't feel like doing that. And then she gets to talk me into doing it. So everybody say, hey, Anissa. Hey, Anissa. She hates that. She'll tell me about it in the car. Anyway, so more and more, as I thought about this, was praying the sermon, I had to put myself out there. I remember back in college, I went to the illustrious, wonderful HBCU called North Carolina A&T. I know nobody in here went there, so I'm not going to even ask, embarrass myself. But I went to a school called North Carolina A&T State University, and at that school, I majored in something called journalism and mass communication. I went there with the ambition, saying, I know that God's told me to be a communicator. I had a dream and a passion to work in filmmaking and television, and then God sent me a screenwriter as a wife, so he still fulfilled his promise. But with that, I had this really strong drive and ambition. And one thing about me that I used to always say is, you're never going to outwork me. Back in my college years, which was a couple years ago, just back in my college years, you would never not find me working. I was always working. I was always what we call it on our grind. I was always trying to make sure that whatever there was to do that would help me to reach my purpose, I was out doing it. And what I found is myself is I pretty much had a me first mindset. But if you had talked to me back then, I would have for surely told you, to God be the glory. I'm fulfilling my purpose. This is what God told me to do, and I'm going out, and I'm going to fulfill God's purpose for my life. And if you are in my way, you will get ran over. Can anybody relate? Maybe, maybe not. I know y'all are good. But I had this me-first mindset, and what I had failed to realize is that while I was pursuing the what of my purpose, I had neglected to look at how I was trying to fulfill my purpose. And could it be that God is looking more at how you are trying to go after your purpose than actually going after it itself? How are you treating people in the process, and who is actually in first place? Is it the mindset of Jesus, where you're putting others before yourself, or are you first place on the throne of your heart? And if I'm being honest, I was first place on the throne of my heart. I tithed, I served at church, but I made sure I did everything just enough as long as it didn't interfere with my dreams, my desires, my passions, my purpose. So just a couple weeks ago, I think 2 weeks ago, Pastor John, he spoke on purpose. Was anybody here for that? Was able to listen? Great sermon. He spoke on purpose and identity. And then last week, we continued in our Restore series with talking about restoration of trauma. So today, we're going to hop back into a little bit of a lighter mood, and we're going to continue with our purpose, but we're going to talk about the only way that you can fulfill your purpose is by thinking like Jesus. Say it again, think like Jesus. Think like Jesus. So what is the problem with this me-first mindset? If you're taking notes, some of the problems are the result of when you operate in a me-first mindset. What do you get? You get busyness and stress, leading to never having enough time, resources for others. So we strive even harder. Unfulfillment. I'm looking out for me, yet I'm still not finding that satisfaction. My calendar is packed, yet I'm still not truly at rest in my soul. Self-centeredness. When I put me first, I find myself constantly sharing about my problems, my interests, my goals, my agenda to others. We subconsciously become the center of our own worlds. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been in conversation with people, even probably some of you, and if so, I apologize. And by the end of the conversation, I'm just like, the only person I talked about was me. Here you are, this person called you for help, or they needed some advice, and the whole time I'm just sitting there, blah, 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 and keep going, because sometimes we can subconsciously become the center of our own world. And the last thing that this me-first mindset will produce is insecurity and anxiety. I feel that I don't have enough, or that I am not enough, so therefore I must focus even more on me. Can anybody relate? Verse 6, looking back at the text, and you don't have to turn there, but it says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Notice that the text said, who being in very nature God. The thing is, with purpose and with serving others and have the mindset of Jesus, when you are secure in who you are, you don't mind being able to give out and serve. When you know where you come from and whose you are, serving is like easy. Take this to example. Although I don't go to this place, Starbucks. I'm a Dunkin' Donuts guy, but we can fight in the parking lot. I'm totally joking, y'all. Please edit that out of YouTube. Have you ever been at the Starbucks line and you get to the window, you drive up, and they say, hey, it's already been taken care of. The car in front of you paid for your coffee. What do you do? Well, hopefully do. You say, oh, that was so nice. Well, I want to go ahead and cover the person behind me. And then that person covers the next person. And then however long until one person finally says, no thanks, there's like this giving chain. Why is that? Because when you've received something and you know that you have an abundance, you're like, I can gladly give it. Because, oh, I've received grace, let me gladly give that back out. When me and Anissa first got married, y'all, we went to IHOP. I think like a week into marriage. And so I'm feeling really excited and everything. And so we get to IHOP. I love IHOP. I love their omelets. And we get to IHOP, and we walk in, and the waitress is about to cry. And so she's frantic, and she's just like freaking out or whatever. And so she happened to be our waitress, too. And so I go to her, and I say, you know, what happened? And she said, well, the two guys that were just in here before you all, they dined, and then they dipped. We're dine and dash, whatever y'all call it nowadays. You know, they ate their food and then they left without paying. And so I'm looking at Anissa and I'm like, we should do something. Like, we should serve this lady. And so I say, you know what? Go ahead. We'll take care of their tab. And the lady gave me their receipt and they had spent over $100 in pancakes and omelets. And I said, Jesus, Lord, you're the provider, so we covered it, and I'm not using up here to say that, trying to brag about giving, but what I am saying is that sometimes it's not easy, and having the mindset of Christ to serve others is a decision that we must make. It does not come naturally. I wanted to keep that $100 in my pocket because we really didn't have it, but glory to God, so amen. Awesome. So here's something that I'm trying to flesh out for you. Am I saying that, hey, you should never take care of your own needs? You should never focus on self at all. No, what Paul is trying to get us to do, and through God's word, he's trying to show us that don't neglect your own needs, just put others first. Think of their needs before your own. What I'm not saying is that you should be like some walk all over me doormat, and you should just let people have every bit of your time, and you should have no boundaries, and anytime that phone rings, even if you're spending time with your spouse, you should just pick up the phone, and anytime somebody says jump, you say how high. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not true service like Jesus. What the mindset of Jesus looks like is simply saying, let me put you before me. Okay, if it's down between this for me or that for you, let me see, are you covered first? Yes, I'm good. Okay, now I can focus on my own needs. So that's not what I'm trying to say, is to have a complete self-neglect of your own needs. So here's something I want you to think about. This mindset, the me first mindset, the more and more that this creeps into the body of Christ, what do you think that we get? Why is he so centered on helping the church at Philippi realize, hey, as a follower of Jesus, neglect self, put others' needs before your own. What do we get when this creeps into the body of Christ as his followers? We find ourselves more divided than ever, unwilling to serve one another, unwilling to give of our time, resources, or even attention nowadays. I don't know about you, but that's something that I still really struggle with. It's like, sometimes, you know, I've had conversations with people before, and they're sitting down, they're pouring out, and sometimes the only thing on my mind, my flesh is like, you got a meeting coming up at 2 o'clock. You got this coming up. Hey, you're fatigued in this conversation, but just go ahead, just pull out your phone and start texting. And we have to fight more and more to say, wait, how would Jesus respond in this situation? Let's say, like, take Justin, for example. Let's say me and Justin have a conversation, and Justin's pouring out his heart to me about something he might be going through. If all I can do is just kind of be like, oh, this thing is eating up all my time, I don't really have time, how is that modeling Jesus to my fellow brother in Christ? Versus me making a deliberate decision to say, wait a minute, if as a follower of Jesus, let me adopt the mindset of Christ, as Paul says, in this moment, and let me give my full undivided attention to my brother. What do we get when we fail to adopt the mindset of Jesus? We find ourselves completely divided, causing the entire family body to suffer and be unproductive. I want you to take a look at this picture right here. It's actually a picture of a car separated in completely different parts. And I don't know what model car that is, but anyway, just follow with me. They say the average car, which I have no idea, I'm not a mechanic or anything, nor am I an engineer of cars, but they say that the average car is made up of over 30,000 different parts. We get into our car, many of you came in a car today, or you carpool with somebody, but we're not realizing that when we get into this mechanical vehicle, it is made up of over 30,000 different pieces, all working and serving one another. What you see right here is all these parts of this car are laid out completely. How useful are all of these parts separate? I'm not an engineer of cars, but I can tell you that car is not going anywhere. The red piece of the car, the body, the only thing it's good for is sitting there as just the body of the car. The pieces, when they're only useful when they operate in unison. When the tire serves the axle and the axle serves the whatever connects to the engine and makes your car go, that's what actually makes the car go. You follow me, RJ, thank you. When everything serves one another, you get a moving vehicle. The same thing works as the body of Christ. If we are each in his seats and we operate as a church family, when we're working in unison and we're serving one another, and I'm having the mindset of Jesus to say, wait a minute, you first and then me. How can I serve you? What we get is a moving vehicle and we operate like a well-oiled machine. Make sense? Thank you. I found that picture on Google, so it's kind of low resolution. But anyway, all right, moving on. So what is the solution to this me first mindset of the human condition? If you're taking notes, here's the big idea. If you want to fulfill God's purpose for your life, you have to adopt Jesus's mindset. Everybody say, think like Jesus. So let's go back to Philippians 2. We're actually going to do a character study of what Jesus, what is his mindset. As I told you, me and Anissa, we come from like a filmmaking background. And when you're writing a movie, the one thing that you do when you're building out your character is you do something called like a character study. You get into the mind of this character to say, how, like, not only what are they thinking, but how are they thinking? How would this person respond in this situation or that situation? What are their likes, their dislikes, their interests? And you actually build out a character. Every movie that's ever written, they go through this process in building a screenplay. So let's now hop into the character study of Jesus. What is his mindset? Verse 5 and 6, it's on the screen. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. As we mentioned before, Jesus was secure in his God identity, who being in very nature God. Nobody had to tell Jesus, like, hey, like, did you know that you're the Son of God? He came to earth as a servant. He knew who he was. So when you are secure in who you are able to adopt this mindset to say, you know what, although my time might be quote unquote, getting eaten up during this conversation, or although this person, I might have to, you know, spend an extra few minutes after church, even though I'm ready to go to Chipotle, I might have to spend a few extra minutes in helping to serve this person or to help the teardown team, whatever it might be. When you know that you've been given so much, it's easy to say, you know what, you can take more because we've adopted this mindset. Jesus rejected a me first mindset. It says he did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. I don't know about y'all, but Jesus, when he was on earth, Jesus could have handled anything. Jesus willingly went to a cross to die for you and for me. Jesus wasn't forced to do anything. He was literally in the beginning, it said, God looked at him and said, let us make man in our image. Jesus created the world. He didn't need to answer to nobody. But yet, how humble is it of a Savior? For you are God Almighty. You are the great I am, but yet you choose to come down and say, you know what, although I could snap my fingers and this world could be gone in a heartbeat, although you could say one wrong thing and I could snap my fingers, even think a thought and a legion of angels would come to my rescue, he could have had any of these powers at his disposal, but yet how did Jesus think about the situation? Although I could, I won't. I'm going to put them first before myself. I'm going to come down in the form of a humble servant. Verse 7 through 9, it says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, just like you and me, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And it goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus chose to take the form of a servant, leading from a place of humility. What humility is not is simply talking bad about myself. Some people think that, like, I've given people a compliment before, and then they'll just be like, no, 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 I'm not the greatest at that, or I'm not this, I'm not that. And by the time they get done, like, destroying themselves, you're like, all I did was offer you a compliment. I just said, you look nice today. Like, you didn't have to go on that whole tangent talking, like, degrading yourself. So humility is not, like, degrading yourself. What humility is recognizing that you are not, it's recognizing that the power does not come from you, but from God. Humility is a low position of heart to say, you know what, thank you, I could take that glory for myself, but actually, although you're complimenting me for that thing, thank you, but it's not me. All glory be to who? To God. That's what a low position of heart is. It says, having the same mindset of Jesus and being a humble servant puts you in position for God to exalt you. I want you to look back at the text, verse 7 through 9. It says, verse 9 says, therefore, who exalted Jesus? Y'all can talk back. Therefore, who exalted Jesus? God exalted him. So it's something that God is trying to get us to realize and say, hey, when you humble yourself as a servant, when you're not trying to just put me first, but when you actually operate in a position of humility, you put yourself in position for God to bless you. That's why some of you have been entrusted to write that book, because you're humble. That's why some of you have been entrusted to parent those children, because God can trust you with humility. That's why some of you have even been entrusted to serve under that difficult boss, because God can trust you to be humble, to show his mindset to that person, and that person's heart would eventually be changed to see the love of Jesus through you. That's why God can trust you to run that company, because you will carry it with humility. And that's what being a humble servant, thank you for the one clap, Alejandro, I appreciate it. That's what being a humble servant puts you in position to do, amen? All right, so what does this look like for us to adopt Jesus' mindset of being a humble servant? If you're taking notes, having an attitude of humility, as we just talked about. An attitude of humility is a low position in heart. It's practicing a lifestyle of putting others' needs before your own. Your heart, your true intentions, your desires, your mindset. When the heart, the word heart is mentioned in the Bible, it's not necessarily talking about the beating organ muscle inside of each of our chests. It's talking about your heart. If right now I said, man, your heart's really in that thing, I'm not meaning your actual blood pumping organ is in that. What I'm meaning is your true desires, your passion is in that thing. So our heart, our mindset, our true intentions are set on putting others' desires before our own. Your desire is to love and serve others to make their lives better. And you are being willing to sacrifice your own good so that others can experience good. I want to reiterate, y'all, this has not come natural. We each suffer with this thing called born into sin. We each suffer with this thing called flesh that on this side of heaven we're not getting rid of until we meet Jesus face to face. And until then, Paul says, I have to die to my flesh daily. Which means that this is something that you're going to have to keep practicing and keep practicing, and you're going to keep practicing every single day. We have to choose to adopt the mindset of Jesus. I want to point you real quick to one of our greenhouse fluencies. If you're not familiar, if you've just been recently coming, we have something called greenhouse fluencies here, and some other churches might call it like our like pillars or something like that. But these fluencies, there's 15 to 16 of these fluencies that we've created the craft to say, hey, if you're a part, if you call yourself a part of Greenhouse Church, and if you want to lead here at this church, you should adopt and strive after having these fluencies, which are based off of scripture. And I want to read the servant leadership fluency to you. It says, how can we develop leaders who are going to be rooted in biblical revelation, unfazed by the requirements of popular Western culture? It's from Viv Thomas. It's all about following the example of the servant king himself, humility. We are not running a business, we are servants, toilet cleaners in the Lord's church. We are tired of watching people enter church leadership full of passion and humility, only to come out standardized and prideful. Jesus was so different. Oh, he had power, but he only used it to serve, never to strut, never to boast, never for personal gain. If you are considering leadership in Greenhouse, you are not being invited into a place of power. You are being invited to be crucified with Christ and serve. What an honor. What an honor. Amen. So if you, I think there was a QR code on the screen. Yeah, there we go. If you want to scan that, that'll actually take you to all of our fluencies. And I encourage you to take some time this week, even in your microchurch, take some time as a body and go through those. It'll be really, really good. All right, so if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a couple points of application, then I'm going to be out of your way. Number one, how do we adopt this mindset of Jesus to start thinking like him in everything that we do? It starts with confession to God and acknowledging our own shortcomings and desiring to grow. Notice that I said, and desiring to grow. How many of you know that some people in here, you've tried to help before, but as we all say, if you don't want help, you will never change. If you don't want to grow in God, you never will. Every season of growth in God, sometimes God puts you into a season, but in order for us to get what God is trying to do in that season or do through us, it has to take humility and it has to take a confession to say, God, I actually want to grow. Any and everything in my life that God is trying to do, if I don't have a desire to do it, what you're basically doing is I would be stiff-arming God and there would be no change produced in my life. So it starts with confession to say, you know what, Lord? I'm getting this wrong. Some of you might be in here and be like, hey, like, I don't feel like this is for me. Great, I'm sure we all can become more humble. But some of you might be like, you know what? I actually am struggling with that me first mindset. I might be a student or I might be a CEO of a company or I just might be a stay-at-home parent, but yet I am struggling with that me first mindset. I'm really struggling, Lord. All it takes is to start with confession. One of my favorite verses in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, he is what? faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So all it takes is the Lord is saying, hey, just acknowledge it. If you can't acknowledge it, then we don't have a problem. But if you can just acknowledge and say, Lord, I'm falling short in this area. I need your help. That's the first step. Second step is just take the first small step. Just take the first small step. Many of you and all of us, hopefully, we can leave here going either having adopted this mindset or adopting it even more in our life. You can take the first small step today. One thing I've realized really quickly, Anissa and I, my wife, we've been married now for 6 months. And there we go. I was waiting for that. Oh, I'm going to hear about this in the car, all this attention. So she's like, why did you do that? But we've been married for 6 months, and I knew that being married would require more of you. But marriage should be renamed, die to yourself, and learn how to serve the other. So there are some times that I've walked in, and y'all, I get it wrong pretty much daily. Anissa's a far, far, far better servant of Jesus than I am, and even God has been using her to even show me my heart. And where I'm like, sometimes I'll call my friends, and I might be like, man, like, am I even saved? Like, I just literally left church, being your microchurch director. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. I'm your microchurch director, AJ. Good to see y'all. Thank you, thank you. I'll literally be like, man, I might have just left doing ministry, walk into the house, and our dog has done something on the floor, and the first thing I can do is, why did this have to happen? And Anissa will be so humble, a humble servant, and she'll forgive me. But with that, being married, you're called to be a servant. That's your first ministry for all the married people. If you're considering marriage, realize that you are called to serve your spouse first. You can take the first small step. I don't get this right, but yet every day I'm saying, Lord, God, I screwed up as a husband. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never been a husband before. I don't know what I'm doing. I screwed up, but I can acknowledge it to you, Lord, and I can take one small step. So I'll go buy her flowers and everything's good. So that'll be great. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But with that, let's say, for example, you know, anybody in here, if you're like me, vegetables and eating healthy does not come natural. I know some of you are really big on like health and fitness and wonderful. That's not me. And I applaud you. But with that, one thing that I can do is like the times that I have decided in my life, you know what, I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to start eating more vegetables. Let's say, you know, broccoli, for example. I don't have to just try to sit here and beat myself up to say, you know what, I'm not a vegetable eater or I don't eat healthy. What I can do is make a decision in my mind and say, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to start eating healthy and I can take the first small step, which is going to do what? Go eat vegetables. And day after day, it's probably not going to come natural, but as you continue walking in it, it's going to become easier and easier. And before you know it, you're going to be telling other people of how to do the same. And that's what the Lord is trying to point us back to in this text of adopting the mindset of Christ. And the last action point is humble yourself continually. Why did I say continually? Humble yourself continually. I don't know about you, but as I mentioned, we wear this thing called flesh, and this flesh every day seems to gain brand new power. Like when we go to sleep, we wake up, it's like back to reset. And every day, as Paul said, we are called to die to self. We are called to literally crucify the flesh, the word of God describes. And so I have to continue to humble myself continually. You're going to make mistakes. Even as I was just sharing about being married, it seems like every other day, I'm like, oh, I dropped the ball on that. Oh, I should have done that better. But what does it take? It takes humility and me going to Anissa and saying, I was wrong, which is really hard to say. But hey, I was wrong. And it takes you like continual humility. That's what we're called to do, not only to God, but also with each other. Listen, we're a church family. We're all wonderful. But I'm sure some people in here, we've offended each other. I might have offended some of y'all in conversations or actions and been totally unbeknownst to me. I might have offended you. But what does it take? It takes you humbling yourself to come to me to point it out, and it takes me humbling myself. As we are striving to serve one another in the body of Christ, whether it's in this building or the church at large, we have to continually humble ourselves daily. Amen? Amen. All right, so with this, one thing I want to point it back to is verse 8. Let's go back to chapter 2. And this is Paul talking about Jesus in the character study of his mindset. It says, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. As I was thinking about this, a lot of times in our like Americanized Western mindset, it's kind of hard to realize the actual horrors and how excruciatingly gruesome crucifixion was. I think maybe in our modern context, we might be able to describe it as if we hear about someone going into an electric chair. We might be like, oh man, just the image of that alone of electricity, all these like volts running through your body, it might be kind of difficult to think about how that is such an excruciating death. But back in Jesus' day, crucifixion was the number one form of like capital murder. Like it was like the number one form of punishment. So the worst of the worst criminals went through crucifixion. They say that Jesus, a lot of theologians and historians say that they think Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours, fighting for his breath, 6 hours. His body scores said that he didn't even look like the appearance of a man. I don't know about you, but that's some pretty gruesome things to go through. Why would the God of the universe, who holds all power, who doesn't have to answer to no one, why would he come down and humble himself, make himself so low that he would go to a cross? He became a servant. And this is what Jesus is trying to get us to do. No, he's not asking anybody in here to be crucified or to have any type of gruesome death. But what Jesus is asking us is, hey, when you are in a position, if you are the CEO of that company, it's okay for you to associate with people of a lower position. When you are, you know, on a college campus, you might know Jesus, but it's okay for you to associate with people who don't know him yet. Humble ourselves continually. This is the mindset of Jesus. It says, Jesus served unto death on the cross to give eternal life to you and me. The God of the universe, who holds all power and authority and glory, comes to a sinful world, you and me, to serve us, even unto his death. That in itself is the gospel. That itself is the gospel. I was talking to one of my best friends yesterday. His name's Kelvin. He was the best man at my wedding, and I just felt led to call him yesterday, so I called him, and similar to Zach's story about the lady in hospice, Kelvin ended up ministering to me, and I thought I was calling to encourage him. And he was talking about he's currently pursuing his bachelor's degree up at Liberty University in Virginia, and he said that this past semester he was taking a course, and he said that it was very difficult. Him and his wife and family, they went through some really sad stuff, some tragedies they had to navigate through. And he was like, man, honestly, like, it was this one professor I had, and I was missing, like, every other assignment for her. I wasn't showing up for class. Like, it was just really tough. And it got to the point where I was just about to drop out of the class and call it a day and just forget about this whole thing. He said then finally he made it to the end of the semester, and he had his finals presentation this past weekend. He said, bro, he said, the Lord was just totally with me, and, like, you know, the finals presentation was exceptional, and then I came to talk to the professor afterwards to let her know, thank you so much for your flexibility and having grace on me, because if it wasn't for your flexibility, so many other professors, they would have kicked me out of their class, I would have flunked. So he said that they exchange a conversation, and this professor, she's in tears, and he told me, because he's studying to be a teacher, he said, bro, he said, if it wasn't for her showing me grace in that season of life, she didn't even know what I was going through at home, but if it wasn't for her showing me grace, I don't think I would have ever made it through that class because she was flexible. He said, when I become a teacher one day, I'm gonna make sure that I show that same grace to my students because that grace was shown to me. And that is having the mindset of Jesus. This professor looked a lot like Jesus, like the story Zach shared during worship. This lady looked a lot like Jesus because she operated humbly in humility. She had all authority to flunk him right out of her class because it was written in the syllabus, you can't miss this amount of class or assignments. She had every right to flunk him, but yet she chose to operate in humility. She chose to serve him, and by serving him, it impacted his life forever. That's what Jesus has done for us. Amen? We can stand to our feet. We're about to close. And real quick, if we can get our prayer partners up here. Here in a moment, for some of you, you might be following Jesus already and you just want prayer. These prayer partners up here that'll be up here in a second, they're not perfect. They're servants just like you and I. And what they're going to do is go to them, confess, say, look, this is me. I might be coming from this me first mindset, but I want to take a step today, humble myself before the Lord and acknowledge that I need help in this area. For others of you, you might not be a follower of Jesus yet, and you're still exploring. Let today be the day that you make that decision, if you're ready, to follow Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't let today go by. Tomorrow is not promised. Pray with these prayer partners up here. Ask them. Say, I need help. I want to learn how to follow Jesus. I want to operate in his humility in my life.